Hey everyone, welcome to Danny Chats. This is episode number 29, and today I'm joined by Alicia. Alicia is another fellow liver transplant recipient, and she's going to tell us a bit about her story today. So, hi Alicia, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good, very hot. It's got a bit of a heat wave here at the moment. And so how's things with you?
It's good, I'm doing really well right now.
Good, good, good. So how did you come about having a liver transplant? Was that something that you knew you was going to need from early or?
Pretty much. I was diagnosed with glycogen storage disease, which is a rare metabolic condition when I was 4 months old. And so basically I was born with my liver missing an enzyme that turns glycogen into glucose.
Okay.
And so they tried a whole bunch of different treatments. I was on continuous G-tube feeds since I was a little baby. And they tried a whole bunch of things. They brought up the idea of liver transplant, but obviously they didn't want to do that if I didn't absolutely need it. And then as soon as I hit my early 20s, my organs started shutting down and I stopped responding to all treatments. So they said if I wanted to make it to 25, I needed a liver transplant.
Wow. Yeah. So were you on a lot of medication, or were you constantly sort of in and out of hospital, you know, up until your transplant? What was life like?
I was in and out of the hospital quite a bit. I was on continuous G-tube feeds. Another common treatment for glycogen storage disease is to drink cornstarch.
Yeah.
Because it's an extended starch. So I was drinking cornstarch every 2 hours, 24/7. Wow. So I didn't sleep, didn't go out. My whole life was basically staying alive.
Yeah. Well, and like, just to clarify, I forgot to mention it again. You're from America, aren't you?
I'm in Canada.
Oh, in Canada, sorry. Yeah, where in Canada are you?
I'm in Alberta.
Ah, nice. Yeah. So, obviously, your medical system's pretty good there, isn't it? And
it's like, not too bad.
Yeah, it's a bit different to America's as well, isn't it? In the fact, I mean, you get healthcare, national healthcare.
Yeah, we have free healthcare.
Yeah, that's really, really good. So they said to you when you got to your sort of 20s, you need this transplant. And how was that for you? You know, like you say, you kind of knew it was coming, but what was that like?
Yeah, I'd always kind of been prepared. And at that point, I was so sick that I was like, if I get one good year with a liver transplant, it'll be worth it, because there was no way I could keep living the way that I was. So I was actually really excited to get a transplant. It wasn't a huge shock for me, it made the whole process a little bit easier.
Yeah. And then, so the process over there is like, they kind of find you a donor, don't they? And they let you know.
Yeah. So I went through a whole bunch of testing and I was put on the waiting list, and they said I could either get a live donor or a deceased donor. And then we just kind of waited until we got the call.
Nice. And do you know like how long that was roughly?
I waited a year and a half.
Wow, it's quite a long wait then, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And that's actually short considering how long a lot of people wait. So
yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah, I was very lucky. I think mine was 6 months, and I was expecting to wait at least a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really good. And then you had your operation, and how was the sort of recovery and everything afterwards?
It was very unexpected. So my first liver transplant, I actually got a live donor. I got part of my brother's liver.
Oh, wow.
And there ended up being so many complications during surgery. I was retransplanted 4 days later with a deceased donor liver. I spent almost a month in the ICU on life support. And at that point, no one was really sure if I was going to make it, if I wasn't. Like, they couldn't wean me off the ventilator because I wouldn't breathe on my own. And my liver was working, but the rest of my body just did not want to get with the program. So I spent quite a lot of time in the ICU and in the hospital. And yeah, quite difficult.
That must have been very worrying for all your family. And it's, you know, your brother's donated his liver as well. So, you know, he's got recovery. It must have been sort of, for your parents, must have been tough.
My parents were running back and forth between my room and my brother's room. He also had a really complicated recovery and procedure. He ended up coding and like he stopped breathing multiple times. Oh. And my poor parents, we put them through it for sure.
Yeah, you tested them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so you had your second liver four days afterwards. That is a big stress on the body to go through two massive surgeries in that short period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that you know, your body sort of took a beating and took a while to recover. But so, you know, you said, was it a month you just said, roughly?
Yeah, a month in the ICU, and then I spent a little bit of time on the transplant floor, moved to outpatient. So all in all, it was like 3 months that I was in hospital.
Yeah, was the hospital fairly close to your parents?
5 hours from my
home. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so that's
a lot of driving for my family back and forth of
being
home and taking care of things and then coming to stay with me on the weekends. And
was there a reason that the hospital was so far? I mean, I know Canada's big as well, but was there not like a specialist hospital closer to you or anything?
No, the closest transplant center, actually the only one in our entire province, is 5 hours from me. So it's in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And that's where all the transplant patients in the province and a lot of neighboring provinces have to drive there for the transplant.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Busy hospital.
It is quite busy.
Yeah. And then have you had any sort of difficulties or issues since the transplant?
Yeah. So I got transplanted in August. In December, my arteries completely collapsed and I needed another surgery for that. And then in March, I got sepsis, so I spent more time in the hospital trying to recover from that as well.
Wow, lots and lots of steroids, I presume.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they pumped me full of everything, and I finally hit the three-month stable mark, which they expected I would do 3 months after transplant. Ended up being an entire year later, but I'm finally 3 months stable.
That's good. That's very good.
Good.
Pleased for you. Very pleased for you. And now you're doing work for LifeBulb Foundation. Is it Foundation?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so I work with LifeBulb. I'm their transplant community manager.
That's very cool. What does that entail?
So right now we have the platform of Transplant Life, which is basically like where transplant patients, donors, support people, we all come and connect. We have like events that we do and message boards. And so I get to be in charge basically of talking to a whole bunch of awesome people and finding out what the transplant community needs, connecting patients in hospital with long-term support and mental health support. And so that's mainly what I do over there.
That's really cool. Great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it keeps you busy. And like you say, you get to speak to a lot of different transplant patients, and I mean, I think just through Instagram, like, I've spoke to so many great people, and they're so supportive as well.
Yes, it is amazing. It Transplant Life launched a couple months after my transplant, and I don't know how I would have survived if I didn't have that connection, because it was in COVID. It was so isolating.
Yeah.
And I just needed to talk to someone who understood what it was like to be immunocompromised and on your own and on so many steroids with a weird person's organ in you, and it was quite the transition.
Yeah, do you ever think about that sort of having, you know, the thought of having somebody else's organ? Because I don't really think about it too often, but now you've just sort of said it has just put it back in my head that I'm walking around with someone else's organ. Like,
I do. Yeah, I was totally like, I went into surgery expecting to wake up and have my brother's liver, and then knowing I didn't, and I was so high up on the transplant list for my second transplant that it was a matter of, as soon as somebody died, their organ was transplanted to me. And that really sat with me, because it was a matter of literally waiting for someone to die so I could live.
I totally understand that. I get that. And how is your brother doing now?
He's doing really well. He's back in college, and he's doing amazing.
What, you know, to talk a bit about him a little bit, is what medication do they have to someone that's donated their organs, do they have to do anything, like, medication-wise?
He's not on anything long-term. He was on blood thinners for a couple months after the surgery, but he has been able to get off of all of his medication. And, I mean, he has no gallbladder now, so he's a little bit limited in diet, but other than that, he's back to his normal self.
Is there a reason they took your gallbladder out? Does that happen to every...
Yeah,
in
living donation for your liver, because of how they need to access the liver to cut off the lobe to donate to the recipient, they end up removing the gallbladder.
There you go. That's total news to me. I'm learning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it is amazing. Like, I mean, for anyone that's listening that doesn't know about liver transplants, you can basically cut away three quarters of the liver and it will regrow. So yeah, it is an incredible organ.
Livers are amazing. I've gotten like to learn so much about them now and see different aspects of them. It is really cool.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I didn't really think of how much it does for the body, and it literally is one of the main organs, isn't it, for processing everything.
Yeah, and I had one little enzyme missing in my organ, which you wouldn't think is a big deal, but it ended up so much was reliant on one little thing that ended up not working right.
Yeah, and I suppose you must be really pleased that you've had the transplant and you're not having to drink whatever it was you was drinking every 2 hours, like mad.
Yes, I can eat anything I want now. I've actually slept through the night for the first time in my entire life. And it's quite the shock to, I'm a normal person now, and it's really weird just adjust to that normalcy.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, before my transplant, I had no energy, but because it was so gradual for me, I kind of didn't notice that I had no energy. Like, you know, I became ill slowly over a long time, so that to me was just normal. And then now I've had this transplant, I'm like, I've got all this energy, like. It's just like getting to know a whole new person.
Yeah, I was sick since birth. So everyone always told me like, oh, you don't feel that different from a normal person. And this is just the way it is. So it was normal to me. And the first thing I remember after waking up from my transplant was my liver doesn't hurt anymore. I'm not in pain anymore. And then I didn't put the connection together. I was so sick before and that wasn't normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Was you jaundiced at all?
Not really. I was a little bit when I had sepsis, but other than that, I wasn't.
Because I didn't realize I was really jaundiced. No one said anything to me until after my operation. And then loads of people said to me, wow, you're not yellow anymore. Like, like, well, no one ever, like, I'm, you know, maybe they just, some people just thought that was me naturally anyway.
Yeah, I didn't have jaundice, but I had, they basically call it the China doll effect. So my skin looked like it was like, made of glass, and I basically looked like a porcelain doll, which I don't now, but so many people mentioned that after. It's like, you don't look like a doll anymore.
That's crazy. Yeah, I've not heard of that either, the porcelain effect.
Yeah, it ends up being common in like metabolic and glycogen disorders. So more than just like affecting the liver, it's in that kind of process that you see it the most.
Yeah, and all your other organs doing well?
They are, yeah. I've come through the surgery really well, and from before, all of my organs are seemingly functioning well, so everyone's really pleased with how I'm doing.
That's good. And what kind of scar did you get?
Oh, I have a huge scar. It's all the way down. So from my chest bone all the way down to my hip bones, it goes all the way around, wraps around both sides.
Wow.
Basically covers my entire body.
Wow. Is that because you had two surgeries, or...?
Yeah, and just because they needed different access at different points, so it's like, we cut this way, and then we cut this way, and up and down, and then I also had drains and everything in, so I have, like, little extra scars everywhere.
Yeah, I had the drains in. They were so uncomfortable. Like, I think I had them for about 5 days after my operation, and I had one on either side, sort of by my hips, I'd almost say, trying to sleep with those in is horrible.
Yeah, I had two as well. The first one, when they took it out, it came out totally fine. And the second one got stuck. So they weren't able to remove the drain. And whatever they gave me for drugs made me hallucinate so bad. And that's what I remember about the drains, is they couldn't get it out and it was horrible.
Yeah, I remember them pulling them out of me and I can remember the feeling. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But afterwards, once it was out, it was really a relief. And funny you should say about the hallucinations, I saw in a transplant group today, someone else who's in hospital currently was saying, I keep seeing stuff, is this normal? Like, and I think it's a mixture maybe of the steroids and, you know, if you're on morphine and things like that, you know, I think it does just mess with your head a bit.
Yeah, I had the worst hallucinations when I was in the hospital. And still, like, I'm a year out and I can't tell what was hallucination and what actually happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you on steroids still?
I'm on a low dose. They were able to wean me off quite a bit. So I'm still on just to keep my arteries and bile ducts and everything open. But other than that, I'm doing
That's really,
really
good. And you're obviously on anti-rejection tablets.
I am. Every 12 hours, religiously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you do. Because mine's once a day.
Yeah, I'm still on twice a day. They're hoping to get me down to once a day,
Yeah.
but even every 12 hours is better than every two, so I'll take it.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, that's just basically taking tablets in the morning and at nighttime, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really not an issue.
Yeah. And are you on less medication now than you were on before?
I am. I started out on quite a lot. I was on like a higher dose of steroids, and then I was on blood thinners, and I had to give myself shots all the time. So now I'm just on my low dose of steroids and then my anti-rejection drugs.
Yeah, I was on the blood thinners. Did you do the injections?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, into your stomach.
Yeah.
And you have to alternate sides.
I did. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I had.
couldn't shoot myself up because I was so terrified of like hurting myself. So I
Yeah.
always get someone else to shoot my blood thinners then.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, I got given the option to go to the hospital every day, but I was like, I can't go to the hospital every day. So it's either do it myself or do that. And I got used to it. But I remember the first time I kind of did it. Not to say out in public, but I was out somewhere and I went to the, because you're supposed to do it at the same time every day, aren't you? So
Yeah.
I went to the toilet somewhere and I did it in the toilets. And I do remember it just felt a bit weird, a bit wrong.
Yes. Yeah, before my transplant, I would always have to do like injections through my G tube, and I would like crouch in the bathroom. I would have my back like up against the toilet, everything spread out in front of me, and I was trying to like sterilize things,
Yeah.
knocking things over, and it's quite a mess trying to do it out in public.
Yeah, definitely. I recently did a trial for a company that were they were just trialing the machine. They didn't tell me anything about the medication, but it was a machine that you use to inject your like transplant medication in. So, and I mean the hope is as well from what they were kind of telling me is that they want you can use it and you'll only have to do it like once a week rather than every single day. It was really cool machine as well, but like. I mean, they didn't want it to be like something that was like big needles and stuff. But it was really cool. It's almost like I don't know if you've seen what diabetics use, something like
Yeah,
that.
that's
Yeah,
awesome.
yeah. But it looked a bit like an iPod because I even said to him, "Can I put like some songs on this?" But it was really cool because it had like the days on there, the dates, and it said if you missed a dose, it said if it didn't go through. It was because my thought was like, "Oh, I won't be organized for this." But it was really cool.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully that'll be an option for people in the future.
Yes. And if they could add music, even better. Like those singing brushes, they should do that for like meds.
That's a good idea. Singing toothbrushes, funny. So, do you have any plans sort of going forward? Obviously, COVID's really put everyone like us, we've had to really be careful over the last year or so. Have you had any jabs, the vaccines?
I did. I had both my doses on my COVID vaccine. Right now, they're still not sure how many antibodies I've actually
That's it.
developed from things.
Yeah.
So I'm still laying low. I work from home, don't really go out much, but we're just kind of waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Because they've said that us in immunosuppressed people that we might need even a third jab. Some people are sort of experimenting.
Yes. Yeah, just kind of waiting to see what research. Canada's a little bit behind in like following the research of other countries. So I'm just kind of waiting, following what other countries are doing.
Yeah, and like you say, it's best just to sort of stay safe and stay low while you can. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I don't really know the Canada too well. What's it like where you live? Are you in a city? Are you in somewhere that you can get out?
I'm in a small town, so there's Alberta's basically has two parts. We have like the prairies and then we have the Rockies.
Yeah.
So I'm not too far a drive from the Rocky Mountains, which is nice because there's a lot we can do for like hiking and getting outside. And but where I am is a smaller town. It's a little more like prairies, trees, farms, stuff like that. So
Sounds nice. I do want to come to Canada. Like, it looks like a beautiful place, to be fair.
it is very beautiful here.
Yeah. And
Cold.
yeah, I think it depends where you are, doesn't it, in Canada, though? Because I mean,
Yeah.
what baffles me is I see people in t-shirts and shorts, but then there's mountains behind them and there's snow everywhere. And you're like, is it warm or is it cold? I don't understand.
We're Canadians. We will wear t-shirts and shorts and minus 10. Like,
Ah, is that what it is then, is
it is. We
it?
just are tired and we'll toughen up and do it anyway.
Funny.
Yeah.
Nice. Brilliant. So would you, I mean, going forward, would you be looking to travel in the future or anything?
I would love to. The plan right now is my husband and I are doing international adoption.
Okay,
So
brilliant.
once the borders open up and it's safe to travel, we're going to go and pick up our babies And yeah, we definitely have lots of plans to travel to different countries. And I've never left North America, so I'm really excited to come to different places and broaden my horizons a little bit.
Wow, you got a great loads going on there. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Really exciting. I'm really pleased for you. Brilliant. It's amazing, isn't it, how life can change, after your transplant.
For sure.
Like,
Totally different life.
I mean, I know people that have been worried to have it or have kind of just said, I don't want to have it, it's too much. Which I can understand because it is a lot, it is a big operation. But
For
like,
sure.
just looking at you, I'd say to anyone that there's so much life to be have after transplant. Like,
Absolutely.
it might be tough for the first year or two, and there will always be bumps in the road, but it's worth it.
Yeah, it was the hardest thing I ever did, and I had so many complications, but still, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It has been the best gift I've ever had.
Yeah, there you go. You wouldn't stop it for anything. Wouldn't trade it. That's brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming on and having a little chat with me.
Yes, thank you for having me.
No problem. And keep up the great work with Life Bulb, and I'm following you on Instagram, so I'll keep up with everything you're doing, which is brilliant.
Yes, thank you.
And I hope you have a really nice day. It's still the morning there for you, isn't it?
It is, yeah, so
Yeah.
I'll have a good rest of the day. Long day ahead.
Nice. Nice, yeah. Well, have a good day and I'll speak to you soon. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.